the next phase of my career, when I was doing the Jerry Jones Show, WFAA in Dallas asked me if I would do some pieces for them, because they had, you know, they knew of my work through ABC Sports and then also because of the Jerry Jones Show. And they had a show called Texans, and they profiled accomplished and interesting and successful Texans on the show. And so it was much like if you remember the old Barbara Walters shows where she featured three interviews of interesting people, and they were profile pieces. Phyllis George was one of the people that I interviewed on Texans, and she and I had a lot in common because she eventually went to work for the NFL Today. Not so much as a journalist, but more, she did more just profile pieces, I think. But anyway, I enjoyed interviewing her. But I came up with the idea. I know Texans are known to talk about themselves. They like to boast. I'm married to a Texan, so I kind of know how that goes.
And his name is?
Patrick Keegan. But in Oklahoma, we're not known to boast. We have more of what I call a quiet confidence. But I started to come up with the idea of, why don't I take this concept to Oklahoma? And at that point, I wanted to form my own production company so I could make my own schedule. And I came up with the idea, like I said, to develop the concept for my Oklahoman show. And I wanted to give something back to the state that had given so much to me. I wanted to inspire Oklahomans of all ages, especially young people. I wanted a young student sitting in a small Oklahoma classroom like the one I attended to see that they could realize their dreams. And I wanted to tell stories about people who could illustrate that to them. And so that's when I developed the concept for my Oklahoman show. That lasted for 20 years.
Yes, remarkable. So that was produced by your company?
By my company, Dixon Productions, yes.
So I'm curious about the background. Did you buy equipment and all that? And so your people?
No, I hired Wintercom,
okay,
which was owned by my friends from Channel 8, Jim Wilburn, who was the top sales executive at Channel 8 when I was there, and Chris Lincoln. So I hired them to do the production. But I sold all the sponsorships and produced the show. They provided a director and camera operators and editors.
So was Channel 8 the station who aired all the programs?
No. Actually, all three stations ended up at some point over the 20 years, but I started with Channel 6.
Okay. Why not 8?
I think I went with whoever made the best best deal
for
me.
All right, sure. Way to go.
Best deal for me.
You're a businesswoman, of course.
And the other thing about Channel 6 that made it very good for me was that it also aired in Oklahoma City. And Channel 6 was Griffin Broadcasting, and you know, they owned Channel 6 here and Channel 9 in Oklahoma City.
So they played them on both
stations. It was statewide broadcast, yes. Right. And I sold it as a statewide, the first statewide television program.
So you were a salesman too for the program. Mm-hmm.
Yes, but it was a pretty easy sale because it was a new concept. I think sponsors saw the value, and I'm sure you see that in what you're doing, of telling Oklahoma's story through its people. And I've always felt that Oklahoma's greatest resource is its people. You know, I started out with, I'll just throw out a few names I started with those first few years. Garth Brooks, Ben Johnson, who'd won an Academy Award,
yep,
and who was also a rancher and cowboy that my dad knew from all those years of ranching and steer roping.
You interviewed Mickey Mantle.
Mickey Mantle.
Yes. Do you have any stories about some of these people? Like Mickey Mantle, what was he like at that point?
He had mellowed. Yeah. I interviewed him at his golf tournament in Joplin. Mickey Mantle had great stories. And that was the thing. Each of these people had so many great stories to tell. Mickey Mantle told some interesting, I'll tell a couple of his stories. One was when he was in Little League, the field where he practiced and played, there were houses behind it. And this woman always, in one of the houses behind the field, always set her freshly baked pies out on her windowsill to cool. And Mickey kept knocking the pies off the windowsill and would get into trouble from the woman and the coach for doing that. Another story he told was, he was kind of like me. He never wanted to leave Oklahoma. He wanted to stay where he was in commerce. And he didn't want to go to New York. New York scared him, and he got to New York. He didn't like it, and it was, I mean, you can imagine, it was overwhelming for him, and he wanted to leave. And he called his dad and said he was going to come back home. And his dad, who I think Mickey said had never been on a plane before, flew to New York and met with Mickey in his hotel room, and he said, look, you're not going to come home. You're going to stay here and see this thing through. I won't let you do this to your career. You can't come home. You stay here. And, of course, the rest of that story is history.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it could have gone either way.
Yep.
His dad could have said, mm-hmm. sure, if you can buy your ticket home, buy it.
But parents are generally, in so many ways, if that's what you want to do, Johnny,
yes.
if that's what you yes. want to do. And he said, no, you're not going to do that. But he also knew how talented his son was.
He knew. He knew the opportunity.
Right.
Garth, I interviewed Garth kind of at the beginning of he was extremely popular, but he hadn't reached that, you know, that pinnacle that he would later reach. I think this might have been like maybe 92, but it was his first concert in Tulsa. It was at the convention center. I interviewed him in the dressing room. His mom was there. His wife was there. He had a lot of relatives from Tulsa that were there, and they were all they were having a very good time. I'd never seen people having so much fun because they were all enjoying this tremendous success of Garth's. I said, do you really realize what's happening to you? And he said, sometimes we'll be on the bus and the guys and I will kind of look at each other and then we'll just pinch ourselves and say, can you really believe what is going on with us?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and of course, I'm sure they had no idea just what it would lead to.
You know, I always felt as a performer, he was also a great promoter. Lots, as you know, those are two people. The performer is not a promoter, but Garth Brooks, maybe if he hadn't promoted himself as much as he did, who knows?
But he was just such a great personality. He was such an engaging personality. Mm-hmm. What you saw on stage was really kind of what you got, you know, backstage as well.
Mm-hmm.
I remember asking him, my last question to him was, what do you want these fans to feel when they leave your concerts tonight? These are your fans, your Oklahoma fans. And he said, I just want them to know that dreams really do come true sometimes.
In your preparation for these interviews, like you said, you asked that question. Did you know you were going to ask that question, or did you start interviewing and they just started coming to you?
Both. I would usually have a set of questions that I had written, but as you know from interviewing, interviews can lead you in various different directions. So I never would try to stick to that script. I always knew that it was very important to listen.
Yep.
And to let the interview take you from there. Wilma Mankiller, the
yes.
first female chief of the Cherokees. What a great story she was. I went to Tahlequah and interviewed her there. She had just had tea with the Queen of England, and she showed me the invitation. The Queen of England invites Wilma Mankiller to tea.
And we have her story on Voices of Oklahoma, and just about 2 months ago I interviewed her husband, Charlie.
Charlie, yes.
Yeah,
I interviewed Charlie that day as well.
Okay.
Yes, Carl Albert. I was able to interview him before he passed away.
Great. Speaker of the House of Representatives.
Speaker of the House, the highest political leader in Oklahoma's
right.
history.
Yeah.
He met with John F. Kennedy. This is a story he told. Met with President Kennedy in the Oval Office right before he left for Dallas. And he said that he could still hear the whirr of the helicopter as it lifted from the White House mm-hmm. to carry him to the airport to go to Dallas. Of course, he had a front row seat on so much of history.
And you had some other names that you interviewed in the Oklahomans, let's see, like Carrie Underwood, you interviewed her. Anything special about that interview?
I interviewed Carrie Underwood in Norman almost immediately after she had won American Idol. She was there as part of the American Idol tour. They were performing in Norman that night. I remember that it was that year because my mom watched American Idol. I hadn't watched it that much, but she watched it, and she would always say to me, you need to watch it. There's a young woman from Oklahoma who's really, really good, and I think she might win. So I was really happy that Carrie did win and that I was able to interview her. She was very emotional during that interview because I think it was overwhelming for her, I'm sure. Here she was from Shakota, and she started on this journey that took her, you know, to the top of the entertainment world eventually. But she was very emotional, and I'll always remember the last thing she said in the interview because I asked her what she hoped people would remember about her American Idol experience. And she said, and she started to cry, and she said, I just hope that I made Oklahoma proud. Hmm. And well. She was a really beautiful soul, I'll say that. And then I could see that immediately, that she was very thankful and grateful for what had happened to her. And, of course, at that time, she had no idea what was getting ready to happen to her.
She really did make Oklahoma proud.
She really did make Oklahoma proud, yes.
Now. Barry Switzer must have been a story, huh?
And is Barry ever not a story? Right. I love Barry Switzer. And I interviewed him twice for my Oklahoman show. And, of course, prior to that, I had known Barry for a number of years because of my work at Channel 8. The first time I interviewed him, it was after he had been let go at OU. I wanted to talk to him about his incredible record and success at OU, but I also wanted to talk to him about how things ended, which, as we all know, was very difficult for him. He's so candid. I mean, you can ask him anything. And I remember we talked about his success, and then we talked about, getting fired at OU. And he said, you know, those people that fired me, that they're like a molecule in the universe. I don't really think about them anymore, and I'm not going to think about them. And I remember another question I asked him was, you got some, you know, you had incredible success on the field, but you had some criticism about the way you handled yourself off the field. He said, well, what do you mean by that? What did I do? And I said, well, I don't know, wine, women. He said, I like wine. I like women. And he said, I like to have a good time. I'm a fun guy. Those are just some of the things I remember from that. But I was very happy that he was able to have a comeback and go to the Dallas Cowboys and win the Super Bowl. And I interviewed him after that, mm-hmm. after the Super Bowl win, I went to Dallas. I'm trying to think of some of the more interesting things he said about, I think he said about, you know, there are definitely second acts in life. I just will always think that Barry Switzer, I've said that David Bourne was one of my favorite interviews, but Barry Switzer is right up there too. Mm-hmm. You know, he is back on top, and Norman, you go down there, and he's like king of the world to everybody there, and I'm really glad to see that.
Yeah.
And to see them, and I think, you know, and I'll give Bob Stoops some credit for that, and in bringing back Barry back into the yep. OU fold, because he deserved to be, and he's just so beloved down there.
Yes, and I have interviewed him for Voices of Oklahoma, and we talked about his mother taking her own life, and he gets really emotional about that years
yes.
later. Boone Pickens was in the news recently, and you interviewed him too, didn't you?
I interviewed Boone. Yes, I went to Dallas to his office. I think it might have been somewhere around 2003 or 2004. He's a character. He's a little like Barry in that he's very candid and very easy to talk to. He recently gave, in addition to a significant amount of money to OSU recently, he also gave $2 million to the Oklahoma Hall of Fame, and I'm chairman of the board this year. So I was there when Jay Rosser, his representative, gave us the gift of the $2 million. I told the story. I said, well, when I interviewed Boone, he said that he believed that the true measure of a man's wealth can be measured by the number of bird dogs he owns, and he owned like 24, 34. And Jay, his representative who was there that day, said, no, 43 bird dogs. I said, okay, well, I'm just glad we got the dollars, not the dogs. But he told another interesting story about how he ended up in the field that he ended up in. He was a student at OSU, and he wasn't paying as much attention as he should have been to his studies. And his father called him in, I think, before, maybe it was before his senior year, and said, son, I don't know what program you're on, but I'm on the four-year program. So after 4 years, that's it for me. I'm not paying for any more of your education. So you either graduate on time or you figure out a way to pay for the rest of your education. And so Boone thought, oh no, I can't let this happen. I really need to graduate on time. So he went to his counselor, guidance counselor, and said, we've got to figure out a way I can graduate on time. So the only path they could find to Boone graduating on time was if he went into geology. So he did. Wow. And the rest of that story.
in that moment, quick moment.
In that moment.
Yeah.
He thought on his feet for sure. Those are some of the memories I take away from that. And it was before he had just announced at that time, now I can't really remember the year, of his significant gift that he was giving to OSU, you know, in the first big gift. But I remember that he said, you know, in talking about the amount of the gift, he said, I don't plant small trees. And I don't think Boone Pickens did anything in a small way.
No. I'm glad you got him. And to promote, be a self-promoter, we have him also on VoicesOfOklahoma.com.
Good.